Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today, our subject is going to be the features of kingdom worship. Features of kingdom worship. We have gone through a whole session looking at the practice of kingdom worship, where we differentiated between religious worship and then kingdom worship. Now, today we want to look at the features of kingdom worship. The features of kingdom worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit enables us to compare spiritual things with spiritual. It's wonderful. That is one of the things that the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to do. Now, when things are being compared, it is not too comfortable because that means that one is going to be preferred above the other. One is going to be like the first choice, and then the other is going to be like a second choice or a third choice or a fourth choice. And many times people are not comfortable because maybe the idea that they have when the Holy Spirit helps us to compare spiritual things with spiritual will come to second place, whereas they want it to be first place. But God has got his own priorities, and we also have our own priorities. The wonderful thing is that when we come to God, we must submit ourselves to his priorities, what is important to him. Hallelujah. And so that is what we are going to do in this session. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual is a good thing. It is something that the Holy Spirit in us enables us to do. God wants us to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we should be workmen who are not ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth. That means that we can stand in this place and use the same Bible, but wrongly divide it. Even the word divide should give you an idea that the Bible has been lumped into one. Boom. Just one thing. And we have to skillfully, can we all say skillfully, or rightly divide it. And how do you divide it? We divide it with the help of the Holy Spirit. We should be able to divide between the old and the new. We should be able to divide between religion and the kingdom. We should be able to divide between what is first to God, what is second to God, what is third to God. We should be able to divide and prove that this one is the good will of God, this one is acceptable will of God, this one is the perfect will of God. We should be able to divide the word of God and come to the place where we have God's priority, and we know from where we have to grow and into what we have to grow. Hallelujah. And so we have established the fact that there is a things of God and there is a things of man. And the things of God, which have been given freely to us, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we speak those things which are the things of God. We speak it not with man's wisdom, all right? Not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. In other words, we should use words that the Holy Spirit teaches to bring out the things of God, which are the things of the kingdom of God, the things of men of this world being our own religious, spiritual way of doing the things of God, of reaching out unto God and all that. Hallelujah. We have elaborately gone through this. So whatever thing, whether it's religious or kingdom, is spiritual. But we have to compare spiritual with spiritual. And we have to know the one we have to discard and the one that we have to grow into. Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, please underline receiving a kingdom, which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, underline grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. This scripture was written to believers, Jewish believers. And God was urging them that, you see, the Jewish people, you know, they knew God. They were worshippers of God. They could recite the Bible, the Torah, from very young age. They are taught to recite the laws of God. All right. So these people become believers and we call them Hebrews. And this book of Hebrews was written to them. These were people who already knew Yahweh. They knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew Moses. They knew, these were blood relatives to these people. You understand that? And everybody will want to project the things that belongs to his father or his grandfather or his great-great-grandfather who starts something. You don't want to discard it. You want to continue with it. And so, Apostle Paul, we believe he's the writer of the book of Hebrews, he wrote to these Christians and said that, look, we are receiving, we should be receiving something. We should be receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, because he made them to know that some things had passed away. He made them to know that some things, they were shadows. Some things, they belong to the old. Now, a new high priest has come. He's not after the order. He is not a descendant of Levi from where the priest came. But this is strange because he comes from Judah, a place that God didn't prophesy through anybody that a priest will come from. It is evident that our Lord Jesus did not come from the priesthood tribe, but here he comes. He says that I am a priest. It's difficult if you're a Jewish person to take it, to take Jesus that he is a genuine guy, because he didn't come traditionally from the place that God said, I'm choosing my priest from. But you see, God is a strange God. He takes them away from the law to a time that the law was not given, and the first priest, who was Melchizedek, a priest unto God, and he was a king. And he says that Jesus's priesthood or his ministry that we should receive is not after the order of Aaron or the Levites, you know, after what you Jewish people know, but it is after the order of Melchizedek, somebody who was mysterious, nobody knew about him and all that, you know, without mother, without father. He doesn't have beginning, he doesn't have ending. Who would want to follow somebody who's the order that he's following, we are not sure. Hey, no beginning, no ending, and all that. But you see, the Bible says that, see to it. Can we also see to it? It says that, see to it that you don't refuse the person who speaks from above. Look at Hebrews. Let me take this thing in context. Hebrews chapter 12 and then verse 25. We are already there. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, who refused him who spoke on earth? Talking about the prophets, Moses, and all those people who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. So he's saying that there are two speeches, so to speak. There is some people speaking from the earth to you Jewish people. And then there is somebody who is speaking from heaven. He's speaking from above. He's speaking from the kingdom perspective. See, just see to it that you don't refuse the person who is speaking from the kingdom perspective. Because it is natural for us believers who are used to a religious way, we have inherited a religious way of going about something. It is natural for us to refuse the kingdom one. All right, because the earthly one, we have identified with it. It flows with what is in our biology, what is in our gene, what we are used to, and things like that. But he says that, see to it that you don't refuse a person who is giving you the kingdom word. the Lord Jesus. He's a kingdom word from above. And so he comes down to verse 28 and he says that therefore, he's concluding with the word therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom. I made it to underline the word receiving, because the receiving is a present continuous word. It means that God understands that we are so steeped in religion, that the Jewish people are so steeped in their own prophets and own religion who spoke from above, from the earth, you know, that it will take them time to adjust. Can we all say adjust to the person who is speaking from above? But he says that we are receiving gradually. It's a process, a kingdom which cannot be shaken, because all those who spoke on it, they will be shaken. They don't have foundation. It's only Jesus and his kingdom word. When he was ending the kingdom words in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he said that if you hear my word and follow it, then you are like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rains will come, the storms will come, the floods will come, but it will stand because it is founded on the rock. It is founded on what? The rock. What is the rock? The kingdom word. In the Beatitudes, starting from the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, Jesus Christ is saying, you have heard it said, but I say to you, I've heard it said, but I say to you. And when he was ending, he says that if you hear these sayings of mine and you do them, you are like a wise man who cannot be shaken. Because kingdom words, kingdom issues which we should be receiving cannot be shaken. That of man is going to be shaken, which are the things of man or the things of religion. Beautiful. So God is encouraging us that we should receive the kingdom word. One major feature of the kingdom word is grace. You know, since we are receiving a kingdom, we cannot be shaken. Let us have grace. Grace is a person. His name is called Jesus Christ. God filled him with grace and truth and released him, because he knows what we need is grace and a new revelation. What we need is grace and a different understanding that we may struggle with when we are comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So he says, let us receive grace, because anything that is not of the kingdom is going to be consumed. He's a consuming fire. That's why I said this scripture was spoken not to unbelievers. Sometimes you say God is a consuming fire at crusades to unbelievers, but he's telling that to believers, that he will consume the works which are our own works, which are not based upon the foundation that no one can lay, which foundation is Jesus Christ and his words. You cannot separate Jesus from his word, because Jesus himself is the word. The word from where? From above. See that you don't refuse the person who is speaking from above. The kingdom word, the word from heaven, the word from above, which we compare with the one from beneath, which are the ones belonging to us. We are so used to, we call it religious words. Okay, so with that very quick introduction, I want us to look today at two features of kingdom worship. Two features of kingdom worship. Want to take my time, take you through bit by bit, because we are going to use words which the Holy Ghost teaches. You know what those words are? They are words of the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. The Bible is given by inspiration of God. Every word in the Bible is given by inspiration of God. It's not useless. It's not just lingering there, no. It is inspired by the Holy Ghost. All scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost. These are the words which the Holy Spirit teaches. So we're going to go through scriptures. I'm going to show you, not from a dream that somebody dreamed when he went to heaven and saw kingdom worship, but using words which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the carnal man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's a whole subject altogether. Let's look at the first feature of kingdom worship, which is what? That kingdom worship is a lifestyle of living out the kingdom word. Of course, I'm using the word worship in a generic sense, in a general sense. It includes what we call traditionally in churches, especially charismatic churches, praise time. And includes what we call, in the same vein, worship time. So, kingdom worship is talking about praise and worship, which we technically know, especially among charismatic churches in the Church of the Lord. So I repeat, the first feature of kingdom worship is that kingdom worship is a lifestyle of living out the kingdom word. It's a lifestyle. Lifestyle. That means that kingdom worship is not an activity. Kingdom worship is not an event. Religion have got events and activities. It's full of it. But the kingdom system where we have kingdom worship, it's a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. So you cannot take somebody and say that, well, this is his worship life and this one is his Bible life or his prayer life. This one is his secular life. This one is his spiritual life. The whole thing has been put together, summarized in one person. That's the beauty of the kingdom system. Everything, you shall love the Lord your God with all your this, with all your that, with all your that, you know. All the 613 laws that God gave to the people of Israel, they have all been crushed and fulfilled in one person. His name is called Jesus Christ.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
So, in the kingdom system, in kingdom worship, you cannot say that, well, it is worship time. So, when we're doing the worship session, was it not worship? When you were at work on Monday, secular work, I mean, working for your boss or doing your own business, was it not worship? Is that different from the time that we come inside and say that now it's worship time, now everybody should put up his best? It's worship time. Ladies and gentlemen, worship in the kingdom of God is a lifestyle. It doesn't mean necessarily that 24 hours in heaven, everybody is praising God. All the time they are singing. They don't even talk to each other. All the time they are singing to God, you know, or praising God, something like that. No. Worship there is a lifestyle. Everything that you do, your whole being is worship. That is why the chief worshiper, who was called Lucifer, who is now the devil, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 28 that your timbrels and your cymbals were all those things that we understand to be his praise instrument. They were built in you. The thing was part of him. It wasn't an instrument he goes to take from some place. He say, I worship and I'll go and bring the instrument. Instrumentalist, go and sit down and things like that. You know, the thing was built. His whole body, his own movement, everything was worship. Everything was worship. And that is how kingdom worship is like. It's a lifestyle. Hallelujah. So the angels, whatever thing they are doing, it's a lifestyle of worship to God. They make sure that they do it before God. Hallelujah. It is religion that separates what we technically call worship from our practical lifestyle. Hallelujah. It's a lifestyle. It's a practice. So if we should do kingdom worship, you know, then we should make sure that all of our life, all the things we see, all the things we think about, all the things we are doing, it is worship to God. Hallelujah. It's glorifying God. It's exalting God. It's not just your words that you come and say, I exalt you. It means you are exalting God. No, it's not like that. It's to be your whole being. Your whole being is worship. All your instruments are in you. Wherever you are, you can worship. You understand that? Whatever you do, you can worship. But when we separate it, then we get into man's way of conducting worship. And we will not reap wonderful benefits, some of the benefits we looked at last week. We will not reap it. Do you know why? Because the thing has become after some old manner. something that we do as an activity, which is different from our life, our way of life. Ladies and gentlemen, the best worshiper is the person who everywhere, whatever he's doing, he does it to the glory of God. Even whatever he eats and whatever he drinks, in everything, 1 Corinthians 10:31, you do it to the glory of God. So if you are eating and you eat and your stomach is so big that you feel like throwing up, I wonder that whether you can say that the eating that you did was in to the glory of God. We should do everything when we are drinking to the glory of God. There are some things that if you drink into your body, you know that it will not glorify God because it will destroy the image of God. You can't drink that thing, smoke that thing, and then come and do worship. Hallelujah. Religion will encourage that. In the kingdom system, it's not like that. Because worship is in your life. Angels of God in heaven, their whole life is in worship to God. That's kingdom worship. So when they technically get together and then they are worshiping God, you know, as an event, it is not different from their life. Their life glorifies God. When they lift up their hands to God, it's just the same thing. It's a harmonization of the whole thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, are you saying that we should not have worship sessions in churches anymore? And we say that everything, whatever we do is worship to God? No, that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we should not cut off our, what we call technically worship time, praises time, from our practical life every minute of our lives. It should flow together. So, kingdom worship is a lifestyle. Because that's how the angelic angels, their life is. Their life is so beautiful. So when they lift up hands to heaven, I mean, the whole place shakes. When we live anyhow as believers, and we come and say, we pick some two anointed songs, and we say that let's sing it. You see that we are not doing kingdom worship. It's worship. I'm not saying that it's not worship. It's spiritual. I'm not saying it's not spiritual. But it's not the kingdom type we should be receiving. Hallelujah. We have to grow into what? Worship becoming a lifestyle, all right? And I qualified it. I said it's a lifestyle of living out the kingdom word. A lifestyle of living out the kingdom word. I want to take you through some few scriptures and we will see what I'm talking about. Because in heaven, they live out the kingdom word, who is Jesus. So let's first of all look at Psalm 138 verse 1 and 2. Psalm 138 verse 1 and 2. The Bible says over there, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Before who? The gods, I will sing praises to you. So you must know what is happening here. Eh? Before the gods, it means that the guy is not in church. The guy is in a bad place. I say that before the gods, I will sing praises unto you. Before demons, I will praise you. That's what he's saying. Before all those people, I will praise you. Before the occult, I will praise you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we waste too much time on these gods and demons and all those people. Let's just praise him before them and let them know there is a difference between God and them. Hallelujah. Before the gods, I will praise you and let them leave themselves. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Says what? I am going to worship you, praise you for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You have magnified, exalted your word above all your name. The writer of the Psalms, I believe it's David, was saying that, I am going to worship you for your word. Time fails me to tell you about David. He was somebody after the heart of God. In the midst of all the religion he had inherited from Saul, he put away all those things and he says that sacrifice and offering, these blood things you don't like. You like something. He got some people to be praising God 24/7. Unlike what he had inherited. He translated religious worship to kingdom worship. Even in the Old Testament, That's why he's one of the best examples or typology of Jesus, of the people who look like Jesus, who resemble or stand for Jesus, indeed, in the whole Bible. David is one of the best. He's the most quoted person in the New Testament. That means he's very relevant. He was living in the old, but he was relevant to the new. He says that you have exalted your word above your name. Kingdom worshiper, the word of God is exalted above all the names of God. The opposite is religious worship. In religious worship, you exalt the names of God. You know, religion has got very powerful names of God. Jehovah this, Jehovah that, Jehovah that. You understand what I mean? He is God Almighty. It is good. It is true. He's Jehovah. He's God Almighty and all that. But the Bible says that comparing spiritual things with spiritual, there is something that is higher than all the names of God you can go and recite and sing in our technical time. We call worship time or praise time. Can say all those words, oh mini chant, oh mini that. The Bible says that is lower form of worship compared to exalting the word in your life. Hallelujah. I know this will disturb you small, but thank God for his truth. Bible says there is nothing that makes God happy. He said in the book of 3 John also that there is nothing that makes him happy than to see that his children are living in the truth. There is nothing. If you think that when we sing these worship songs to God, God becomes happy. He says, look, there's nothing that makes me happy than when I see that your practical life, you are living it in kingdom way. You are living it. There is nothing that can rejoice me. Think that dancing, you dance and you sweat. And when it comes to God's word, you have no respect for the word of God. Now let's worship. That's religious worship. Religious worship exalts the name of God. Yes, I know he is all powerful. Yes, I know he is Jehovah Rohi. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is that. He is creator. He is that. But he says that me, myself, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, my word and my worship, my name, I have exalted my word above all my name. That is why kingdom worship is a life of living out the kingdom word. Hallelujah. It's powerful, isn't it? Look at the book of Psalm 149, verse 5 to 9. Psalm 149, verse 5 to 9. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. I explained to you that high praise means that there is low praise. They are all praises. But comparing spiritual things with spiritual, you use something to qualify a certain praise. You call it high one. Means that there is a low one. Let the high praises of God, of course, high should make you think, make you know that it belongs to the kingdom. It's high. It's above. Don't refuse that which is coming from above. Let the high praises of God be in their way, mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand. Look at it. High praises of God, two-edged sword. Where should the high praises of God be? In their mouth. It means that not just your practical life, but you say it. Is that right? Let it be in their mouth. From their life, in their mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand. One is in the mouth, the other one is in the hand. It's interesting, though. You see, the hand stands for, most of the time in the Bible, it stands for your practical life. So it says, live out the Bible practically. Let it be in your hand. That's what you do in your practical life, everyday life. Your hand, the word of God in your hand. High praises in your mouth. It's powerful, isn't it? So you see that what we technically call praises time, worship time, that we use our mouth to do, it is linked with the truth, two-edged sword, metaphorically talking about the word of God in our hand, in our practical life. To do what? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples. You see, it is only us who can do kingdom worship. As we go on, I'll teach you that. When we do kingdom worship, we are telling unbelievers that our worship is higher. We belong to the kingdom. We have been translated into the kingdom. We don't descend to do worship like them. No, we do it as in the kingdom, as in the kingdom system. And so it judges them. And punishment on the peoples to bind their kings with chains. Only kingdom worship can bind kings. Only kingdom worship, it can bind kings. Only kingdom worship can bind kings. When in your life, You live to glorify God. It doesn't mean that you are spotless. It doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. But you don't mean to make the mistake. Your mind is to glorify God. But you got it wrong because you are not perfect yet. In a life like that, with God's praise in his mouth and the word of God in his life, he binds principalities, kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This honor has all his saints. It's a wonderful honor he's giving to us. Honor of judging the world, letting them know we are different from you. We are God's special people. We belong here, but we are seated actually in heavenly places. Can't you be seated in heavenly places and be living a life worshiping like you are on earth, the way unbelievers do it? No. Hallelujah. So over here too, we see that the worship and the word, like exalted his word above his name. Hallelujah. Look at the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3. Oh, help me. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 to 3. It's a popular scripture. Let me show you quickly. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Please underline mercies of God. Anytime you see mercy or grace, they go together. They go together. When you see mercy, you don't see grace. Grace is there. When you see grace, you don't see mercy. Mercy is there. They are twins. They go together. I beseech you therefore, through the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Please underline your body. It's talking about your physical life. Your physical life. Let it be holy. Let it be acceptable unto God. How can you be motivated to live a practical life of your life being wonderful to God?
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.